We're so glad that you've chosen to come and be a part of the service this morning. I don't know how many people got their clocks set to a certain time. Maybe some of them might be coming in the door as we go out. Who knows? But we're glad you're here. Anybody that's listening on the radio or the website, we're so glad that you're being a part of the service. See a good pile of Samaritan's Purse boxes here.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, and try to get them to us by next Sunday so we can get them all processed and over to wherever I need to take them this year. Yeah, if you put a note on it so we'll know who. Kathy's holding up where it's boy or girl or, and all of that. So we're so glad that you're doing that. And remember, this is the time of the year that during November when we give to our children's home. And later we'll show a little video about that, but we'll do that after the announcements. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, it's good to be in your house. Oh, you're so good to us. You bless us. You care for us. You love us. You count us as righteous. You provide for our needs to be met. And so, Father, it's just great to come and bow at your feet and say, with the seraphim, holy, 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 are you Lord? We worship you. We honor you. We praise you. For there is none other. Oh, Father, we thank you that every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed. Another month has slipped by, and so before we do anything this morning, we need to honor our and recognize our birthdays for the month of November. And those birthdays are Dane Barbie, November the 9th, Stacy Talley, November the 11th, Pamela Louder, November the 17th, Allison Barbie, November the 18th, and Tamara Hahn, November the 24th. Have I missed anyone? All right, if you'll give me a key. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Thank you, thank you. And there are no anniversaries to recognize for the month of November. All right, then let's have our hymn sing as we normally do each and every Sunday. This Sunday, let's sing page 43. This is My Father's World. We'll sing all three verses as we stand together, please. This is My Father's World. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me sing the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the skies and seas, his hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white declares their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. Shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear him pass. He speaks.
everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me never forget that all the wrong seems off so strong. God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's.
Said amen. Amen. Welcome someone this morning. All right, I have a few announcements for you. First, I want to make sure, I think all of you have got the word, but as far as Charles Hatley's funeral schedule, but just in case, tonight the family will be receiving friends and family at the Hartsville Funeral Home from 5 to 7. And then on Monday, the funeral will be at 11. So that's the schedule for that. Let's remember that we'll continue on with the same schedule that we've been having as far as our services go. And continue on with Sunday school at 9 and then worship at 10. So, okay.
It's today.
Thank you, Kathy. I didn't have that. I only had on there to remember the family, but thank you for that. Appreciate that. All right. Let's remember now our Samaritan shoeboxes, and as the pastor has already pointed out, they're coming right along beautifully, and next Sunday will be the last day for the Samaritan's shoebox, so don't forget that. Our Baptist Children's Home offering, that's an offering that I think is probably one of the most... The offerings that we do each and every year that is so, so much needed, especially now with the way things are. And let's remember the Baptist Children's Home. Jeff, you have a video on that up there?
Yeah, I'm not sure
how to do it. All right, okay. I'm ready to go ahead if you're ready to show that, sir.
I lived at Odom Home for 4 years, and I saw Odom Home as a beautiful place. And when I came here, I felt at home. I felt like I was safe and I was comfortable.
Devotions in the cottage, the life that the cottage parents live are very important because they are role modeling. And so Christ being a part of their lives and helping to give them hope for the future is phenomenal for them.
If I wouldn't have came to Odom Home, I wouldn't have got saved. My dream at the University of North Carolina at Pembroke wouldn't have been possible because I didn't have the financial support, and actually me being abused, I would have been traumatized where I couldn't like think to go to college. I was able to get an education that I needed. I was able to focus on my grades when I needed tutoring. I was able to have tutoring when I needed to go to the church. They took me to church. They made sure that I had a relationship with God, and I thank God for everything that they've done for me.
There's definitely a need there, and I know this church will be a party to taking care of that. Also, this is the month that the Baptist men would normally have had their barbecue, and we've talked about this. Jeff, you may want to share this. I think we are going to not do a full barbecue as usual, but there are some plans made. Jeff, you want to share that with the people now? All right.
And we need your help on that. We can raise as much money as we normally do if we can sell these butts and they're not near the work that we do on the sell these, and it's a Christmas time. You've got to fix them many ways away.
Send us the flyer. Once you get it put together, send us the flyer through the email server that you send to us so that we can have it digitally as well.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Are there any other announcements that I may have overlooked? All right. Pork. All right. So there are no further announcements. I'll now go to the prayer request. Prayer request today, of course, of the Charles Hatley family. Let's remember the family. Jeff Kay's got a praise report, and Jeff is all right. He's ready to run a race with me, I think, pretty soon. So I praise God that Jeff's surgery went well. Still got one more leg to think about later on down the road, though, right, Jeff?
Yeah, but it's not near as bad as the other one was. So.
Yeah, yeah. So that's wonderful, and we praise God for the fact that you're here together today. Let's
thank you all for the prayers, too.
Absolutely. God is in control. Amen.
Yep. Amen.
Let's remember Anna Frick. Let's continue to remember her as she's battling the cancer. Roger Morton, who is one of our custodians. Yes. Yeah.
We're real glad for her about that.
Amen.
She's excited about that. I'm going to see her one day this week.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Roger Morton, who is one of our custodians here at the church, has got some tests coming up next week, and he's quite concerned about them. He called me and asked for prayer, so let's put Roger Morton on our prayer list. Also, I talked to Janice Williams this morning. She's asked for prayer for Bobby and for herself. Janice being under the weather a little bit, and Bobby's having a lot of problems with pain, with sciatic nerves, and he's having a lot of times with when the pain is really, really excruciating. So let's remember Bob and Janice Williams. Also, Eva Ann. Eva Ann goes Tuesday for a procedure. Eva Ann, you're going to be fine. The Lord's going to carry you through, and we appreciate you being here this morning. We'll continue to pray for you. Let's remember the Coralie Crisco family. Kathy's already given you some information on that, but let's remember that family today. All right, that's all I have. Does anyone have anyone you want to add to the prayer list this morning? Yes. Go ahead. A family? This
a
death?
Charles Page. Yeah.
Okay.
He's just pray for him.
All right. Okay. Lionel?
First cousin Rick Hahn and Paul Moskowitz. Okay.
I seem like I saw one more somewhere. Okay. All right. So if there are not any more, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for another Lord's Day. And as we've already alluded to, Lord, the months seem to slide by fast. But Lord, we know you're in control. We know you're an awesome God. And we know, Lord, about the many blessings you've already given us. As I look out and I see the people that are here this morning, I think of the blessings that each can share, the fact that they're here and able to be here. And Lord, we thank you for those blessings today. But now, Lord, as we come to you today, as you've asked us, and Lord, you've told us to do, ask, Lord, and we shall receive. And we, Lord, I'm asking today, Lord, for special prayer, special blessings upon the Charles Hatley family. Lord, we lift them up today, Lord, as they're mourning the loss of Brother Charles. We have a great praise report in Jeff Kay this morning that he's here. We thank you for the blessings. Praise report for Anna Frick, Lord, as she's completed some therapies and some chemos. Lord, we pray for her. We lift up Roger Morton to you today, Lord, as he goes through tests. We pray for him. Bob and Janice Williams are not able to be with us today, Lord, because we pray, Lord, for each and every, for both of those, as Janice is under the weather and as Bobby is battling pain. We thank you for Eva Ann's presence this morning, Lord, but we ask that you be with her Tuesday as she goes through the procedures, Lord. The Coralie family, Crisco family, Lord, we pray for that family. The Charles Page family, we lift them up. And then for Rick Hahn, Lionel's first cousin, we pray for that him. And then, Lord, as we now think forward in our services today, Lord, we want to lift up those who have a part. We pray for Kathy as she's going to come and sing for us today. And then, Lord, we pray for Pastor Ed. And, Lord, we know that you give him the words. We've watched and we've seen, and we know that the word he preaches is from you. And we're thankful for him. We pray for him today. And then, Lord, pray for our church as a whole as we continue here, as we make decisions each and every week, Lord, that we feel that are the best. Help us to have your wisdom. Help us to have your guidance. And most of all, Lord, faith. Oh, Lord, we need more faith. Help us, Lord, as we go forward now. And then, Lord, be very, very careful, Lord, to give you all the honor and all the glory for the awesome God that you are. And, Lord, I make this prayer in your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm afraid I don't have any update. I've tried as well. Is anyone?
Tim last week, or texted Tim last week. Best way to get a hold of him is texting. But he said he was doing some better, and things seemed to be heading in the right direction.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. All right. I've asked Miss Kathy to come this morning and sing for us our song of praise. And as she comes and shares with us, just pray for Miss Kathy. Thank you, Kathy.
I'm going to move this over for one quick second. This is not a new song to me, but I haven't ever sang it before to people. I've sang it in my car quite a few times. This song was played at our niece's funeral, and I thought, I had not really heard it used in that context before, and I thought, what a glorious song, because I know that's exactly what Nicole is doing in heaven. She's at the feet of Jesus and praying and saying, holy, holy, holy. And after reading the pastor's newsletter this week and praying about what to sing, this is the song God told me to sing to y'all. So if y'all don't like it, y'all can get mad at God. So pray for me as I sing.
Hold praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. I will adore
holy. Amen. All right, children, it's time to be dismissed to Children's Church. A little traveling music, Wes.
But you could have called him Gary. I couldn't have it. I couldn't have it. I couldn't have called him either. Yeah. Thank you, Kathy, for that special. And I pray that as she sang, you truly worshiped. Not just enjoyed the beautiful music, but you truly worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
You know, I picture ran through my mind watching some football yesterday when the games were over. A couple of the games, the students and fans flocked the field, just in excitement over winning a game. Oh, we ought to be so excited about Jesus. Because he's far more worthy. I mean, it's great to celebrate a victory. But Jesus is the ultimate victor. Ultimate one worthy of our worship and praise. And may we worship him with all that we are. I don't have to remind you, but you know, not in the United States right now, people are divided tremendously by race. I'm white, I'm black, I'm Hispanic, I'm Latino, I'm Asian, I'm a Native American. And it's like we got this separate group here and this separate group and this separate group, and you know, all kinds of divisions over race. But you know, when God looks down from heaven, he only sees two groups of people. Now, there's two categories. One, he sees male and female. I don't care what's politically correct. God sees male and female, and if you don't believe it, look at what Jesus said in Matthew 19. He said, God created them male and female. Okay. The other thing is, God sees us saved or lost. That's the only two groups that really matter. It doesn't matter whether you're red, yellow, black, or white. Are you saved or are you lost? Are you in the family of God or the family of the devil? Are you on your way to heaven or are you on your way to hell? That's the only two groups that the Bible really depicts, and that's the only two groups that the Lord sees. I mean, you think about one of those football stadiums with 100,000 people in there. Now, there's no little S up here or L over their head that says they're saved or they're lost. But every person in that stadium is either on the way to heaven or on the way to hell. You think about it. You walk up to Walmart and you see a parking lot full. And everybody in every car and everybody pushing every buggy is either saved or lost. That's the only two categories that really matter for eternity. It doesn't matter whether you're white, black, green, or purple. You know, are you saved or are you lost? Is God your heavenly father or is the devil your father? And you see, you and I get to choose. Every person listening to me, whether here in the sanctuary, whether over the radio or listening later over the website, every person is either saved or lost. And we get to choose. Now, many of us, if we could choose four other people, you know, the moment our kids were born, before we ever took them out of the hospital, we'd have got them saved. But we couldn't do that. They have to grow up, reach the age of accountability, make their own choice. Yeah. Most of us have family members or really close friends that we know are lost. And yet, we can't be saved for them. Everybody makes their own choice. Now, the Lord wants us who are in the saved category, and I think that's probably everybody here in this sanctuary, to know that we have the responsibility to tell those that are in the lost category how to be saved. That is our responsibility. You remember how Jesus says, go into all the world, make disciples. The fields are white into harvest. Go and share. Tell people how he sent out the 12 and then he sent out the 70. And over and over and over again, Jesus says, we have the personal responsibility of sharing Jesus with every person that's lost. Now we need to share by our words. And we need to share by our actions. It's interesting. There's some people that just try to do it by their actions and never say anything with their words. And there are other folks that say with words, but their actions don't back it up. And you know, it doesn't matter how much you talk to somebody about Jesus if you act like a jerk. I've shared this before, but I remember this guy that used to come in to one of my churches, and he said, "Oh, we're having a revival, and I've invited this one, this one, this one as a co-worker." And it hit me one day that nobody ever came. And one day I had an occasion to go by his place of work, and in his work stall he had a pornographic calendar on the wall. No wonder all of your words were meaningless because they didn't see it in his life. Brother Jerry and I talk about funerals that we've done, and I'm thinking about one I did about 45 years ago. And I got up in the pulpit, you know, and I talked about this guy being a Sunday school teacher and being a deacon and singing in the choir. What a fantastic influence and leader he was in the church. And as we finished up in the cemetery and was walking around shaking hands, one of his this man I didn't know walked up to me and said, "I worked with him for 35 years. I never even knew he's a Christian." And I thought, was he just a Sunday Christian? We have a responsibility to share Jesus with every person that's in the unsaved category. Now let me ask you a question. How well are you doing that? How often are you doing that? I want to ask you to raise your hand, but in the past week, month, year, have you talked to anybody about their need for Jesus? Have you invited anybody that's unchurched to church? How do you live in front of your unsaved family, friends, co-workers? We have a responsibility. Every person in the world is either in one or the other category, on the way to heaven, on the way to hell. And with it on the way to heaven, we have a responsibility. Now, I would imagine right now, some of you are feeling really uncomfortable. The idea of witnessing, sharing Jesus, makes us nervous. Makes us uncomfortable. I mean, you know, preacher, I'm not real good at that kind of thing. Let me give you an illustration. And then we're going to look at some scripture to back up the illustration. Did you know that as a born-again, spirit-filled believer in Jesus, you witness from a place of power and authority and freedom? You witness from a place of overcoming victory. Now let me give you that illustration. Suppose a very good and trusted friend came to you and says, "Come on, we're going to go over here to this certain house," and you go over there and it's a very rich looking house. And he says, "I've made arrangements for you to go in and you can have anything you want out of that house." Sounds good. But then you say, "Now wait a minute, wait, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. I know you're my friend. But I've heard that there's a real warrior that guards that house, and he carries an AK-47 all the time. I'm not so sure that I want to go in to his house and try to take anything. And your very good, special, trusted friend says, hey, I've taken care of him. And so with fear and trembling, you go and you crack open the door and you peep in there, and sure enough, that AK-47 smashed into all kinds of pieces, scattered all over the floor. And that mighty warrior chained to a wall. And you can go in and have whatever you want. Now he can still got his mouth. You can't have that. You better not take that. I'll get you if you mess with that. Hey, wait a minute, he's chained to the wall. You can go in and take what you want. Do you believe your trusted friend? Or do you believe this guy that's chained to the wall with the loud mouth? Now, let's look at some scripture. Go with to me first to Matthew chapter 12. And Jesus had just cast out some devils, exhibited great power, and the Pharisees, who were bent out of shape over everything that Jesus did, came and said, he does it through the power of the devil. That's where he gets his power. The devil gives him his power to cast out devils. And Jesus says, listen, you knuckleheads, if the devil was giving me the power to cast out devils, he'd be fighting against himself and he'd be getting his own kingdom destroyed. I do it by the power of God. And so in verse 29, Jesus says, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? Jesus says the way to victory is you go in, you tie up, you chain up the strong man, and you take anything you want from his house. Jesus did that for you to give you victory. Think it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to show you that Jesus did exactly that. He bound the strong man that's opposing your witnessing and bringing people to Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know you anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, in fear, in much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world, for they come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Jesus said, the devil and his cohorts, working through the Pharisees and Pilate and the Romans, put Jesus to death. And if they'd have known what it was going to cost, hell, that had never done it. If they had known and realized that the devil was cutting himself off by crucifying Jesus, he'd have backed off and never done it. If he had known that the sin of the world was going to be taken care of by the crucifixion of Jesus, he'd have never done it. If he had known that men were going to be rescued from hell by the crucifixion of Jesus, he'd have never done it. You know, the devil thinks he's so smart, but he played right into the hands of Almighty God. He thought, man, I've got him this time. I tried to kill him whenever he was a baby, and I tried to kill him when they were going to throw him off the mountaintop, and I tried to kill him when they wanted to stone him, but I didn't get it, but I got him on the cross. Whoops. Messed up. Go on with me to Colossians chapter 2. Oh, I love to read these things because it just reminds me who won and who lost and which side I'm on and which side you as a believer are on. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. Well, now let's go back. Let's go back to 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened or made alive together with him, having forgiven you, how many of your trespasses? All of them. Amen. That's wonderful. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having small principalities and power, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The picture here is of a victorious general or a victorious king marching in and trailing in his, at the end of the procession is the defeated foe. And it pictures Jesus victorious, Jesus coming in and trailing in his feet at it behind him is a bound and a chained defeated devil. Made a show of him. In other words, all the angels said, look at there. He thought he was hot stuff, didn't he? Now look at him defeated. All of the people in glory, oh, he's defeated. All the people who were unsaved before then, look at him, defeated, bound, chained, lost. And then look at in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I'm the first, I'm the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Even amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Wow. Jesus said, you don't need to be afraid. I was here in the beginning, and I'm going to be here in the end, first and last. I was dead, but now I'm alive, and I'm going to be alive forevermore. And not only that, when I came out of hell at the resurrection, I took the keys. And I took the keys of death. And the person with the keys is in authority. The person with the keys is in control. You see, Jesus over and over and over again in the New Testament is saying, listen, when you go out and witness in the name and in the blood of Jesus, you go out with victory. You go out with authority. You go out with power. Go back over to the book of Matthew. write a few verses, a few couple of chapters of where we were. Matthew 16. And we'll read verses 13. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say that you're John the Baptist, some Elijah or Elias, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets." He said unto them, "Behold, but whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus said, when you believe that I am the Son of God, that I am the Messiah, the devil and all the gates of hell can't stop you. That you can witness with great, great power. Now, you know the devil wants to believe that you can't do it. The devil wants you to believe that you don't have a chance, that you're going to be messed up. The devil believes that he's powerful and you're weak and hopeless. But remember, the devil is a liar and the father of lies. And you are an overcomer in Jesus Christ. Let's ignore the devil. Let's ignore his loud mouth. And go out and reach some of those folks that are in the wrong group, the lost group, the unsaved group, the on the way to hell group. You know, let's share Jesus from your victory, a position of victory. Go out and witness from that position of victory, not from a position of defeat or hopelessness or weakness. Watch the Holy Spirit bring people to Jesus. Now, your sharing at first may not be nearly as bold as you wish it were. But the good thing about the Lord, he uses weakness if it's shared in faith. You may not be as bold as a lion, but God still understands and uses you. Beautiful illustration of that. You remember in, if you want to look it up later, Luke 5, if you want to look it up later, great crowd comes to Jesus on the lake, and they keep getting him closer and closer, and he's about back off into the water, so they want to get up and touch him, so he gets in Peter's boat. And they push off a little ways, and then from the boat, Jesus teaches. When they get done, Jesus says to Peter, "Launch out into the deep, let down your nets, and see what you get." Remember what Peter said? "Now wait a minute, Lord. We've toiled all night and we didn't catch a thing." Now we don't know what Peter was thinking, but you can imagine. "Now wait a minute. I'm the fisherman, you're the carpenter. Who are you to telling me how to fish? Don't you know that we fish at night, we don't fish during the day?" And there was a reason for that. Because of the clarity of the water, the fish could see the nets and escape during the day. And I imagine Peter was a little whiny. Wouldn't we be? "Nevertheless, Lord, at your will, at your word, I'll let down my nets." And what happened? Caught so many fish, his net began to break, and he had to call his partners to come and help him. And they loaded both boats till they were about to sink. Now, you see, Peter didn't have great faith. Peter had an excuse. But Peter said, Lord, you said do it. I'll obey. And that's faith. And faith brought a harvest. And the Lord may say to you, go witness to your brother-in-law. And you may say, Lord, I don't even like him. He don't like me either. But nevertheless, because you said, I'll go. You see, everybody in the world is in one of two groups. They're on the way to heaven, on the way to hell. And it doesn't matter what color they are or what sex they are. They're on the way to heaven or to hell. And we have a responsibility to share Jesus with them. Weak, trembling, maybe so. But your faith in doing what the Lord calls upon you to do in response to His leadership to certain individuals. And sometimes it's a, okay, go here, go to that brother-in-law or go wherever. And sometimes it's a chance encounter. But whatever it is, step out in faith, let down your nets, and watch the Lord bring in the harvest. I mean, Peter didn't put those fish in that net. He just was obedient. And the Lord put the fish in the net. You be obedient to share the Lord, and watch the Lord put the fish in the net. Bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment. If there's somebody listening to me, perhaps on the radio or on the website, and you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're in the wrong group. You're destined for an eternal torment. Oh, but Jesus loves you. That's why He came from heaven to earth. Would you today acknowledge, I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. I want Him to come in and save me. I believe that He died for me. I believe that He rose again. I believe that He is the Son of God. And today I invite Him into my heart and life. I repent of my sin. And I give Jesus authority to be my Lord. If you'll do that, I know that He'll save you. You'll change from that devil's crowd to the Lord's crowd. You can sing, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Now let me ask each of us that are believers. Even as I've preached this morning, has the Lord laid somebody on your heart that you know is in the wrong group? Would you pray about how you can personally witness to that person? How you can share Jesus? If you haven't been living a godly life before them, you may need to repent of that yourself. Get your own life right before you can be a godly witness. Oh, Father, the fields are white unto harvest. You've already told us that. Show us how to reap the harvest. Father, the lake is full of fish. Show us where to let down our nets and watch you fill the nets. Thank you that it's not your will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That you so love the world that whosoever believe can be saved. May we be committed to sharing our wonderful Savior. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming.